So let's go. What we're going to learn is one verse of Eicha, Lamentations 5, number 1. That's the verse we're going to learn. Over here, you have it. And the idea is to learn two teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, of the founder of the Hasidic movement. But together with those teachings, not just the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, which take us very short time, together with that, we're going to learn some teachings that come from Hasidic discourses around the ages, so to speak, of basically of the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Rebbe of Chabad, Shalom Daver, that was his name, and of the Rebbe himself, where they show us something very subtle into the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov. We're going to see that in a minute. And they show us how we can apply these to our everyday life. The truth is, I have to be honest, at least that's the way I'd like it, that the teachings were written for Jews and the ideas talked to, so to speak, Jews and so on. Mainly the Baal Shem Tov was talking to Jews. We have to understand that the times that he lived and the place in the world that he lived, in Poland and Ukraine and Russia and so on, in the early 1700s, non-Jews were not in those places in those times, where non-Jews were not interested at all in listening whatever Jews have to say. So that's why his teachings usually are only targeted toward Jews, only that. But in any case, I humbly think we can apply these particular ideas that I want to share to non-Jews also. And I'll explain why I say that. So let's start. First of all, of course, you know how to read. So I'm just going to focus on the important parts of this verse. That the truth is that the Hasidic discourses that are the source of what I want to teach really dissect this verse into almost each word, what it represents, what it means, and so on. We're not going to learn the whole thing. In Hebrew, it says over here, Zechor Hashem Mehoyalanu. Simple translation, it's over here. Remember God, Lord, whatever. Mehayalan, what happened to us? What has befallen us? I'll explain to you in a second the context of this verse. Habito re'ez herpaseinu. Behold and see our disgrace. So we're talking to God. The whole book of Lamentations, which is very short, was written by Yirmiyahu Anavi. I think it's called Jeremiah or something like that. And he actually witnessed the destruction of the first temple. We're talking about 2,500 years ago, more or less, not a precise number, but more or less that, destruction of the first temple by the Babylonians. And actually this happened in Tisha B'Av, in the 9th of Av, so that's why we're learning this particular subject today, kind of a sad subject or whatever. So again, Yirmiyahu is witnessing the destruction. He spoke so many years before the destruction to the Jews, change your ways and improve and so on. Nothing happened, nothing worked. And of course, the temple was destroyed by the Babylonians and so on. Nebuchadnezzar, that was the name of the king. And in almost towards the end of the whole book, he brings this verse. Simple translation and understanding of the verse is we asking God to remember us. You know, look what happened to us. The temple is destroyed. Our glory, if you read the book, you'll see very sad and very strong book, short, but very strong. Our glory, our beauty, whatever, everything is lost. So remember us, God, look what happened to us. This is a simple translation of the verse. However, we will see that there's a much deeper translation based, basically, what I'm going to teach is on the word ma, me. Over here, it's written me. It's just a syntaxis thing. Me, ma, it's actually the same thing. Ma means what? Look, God, what happened to us? This word, what? Over here is this word me in here, in Hebrew over here. But before going into actually our petition to God, there's a teaching of the Zohar. The Zohar is the book of Kabbalah, but it brings all kinds of teachings and very, very interesting teachings, sometimes very difficult to understand. But the Zohar brings something very interesting. Over here is the source. You can look it up if you want. As we're asking God to remember us, you know what? He is asking us to remember him. What do you mean? We should. God doesn't forget. He never forgets. There's no such a thing as forgetfulness for him. We forget. And the fact that we forget, as we're going to learn, is the source of all kinds of wrong behaviors, so to speak, when talking about the will of God. We just forget about God and we do whatever we have to do or we want to do, and etc. and so on. Everybody knows himself, themselves, and so on. So as the Zohar connects these two verses that have no connection between them, this is a verse from Micha, another prophet, no connection to what we're learning right now. There was no connection between Micha and Irmiyahu. That's what I want to say. But this verse of Micha is God telling us, you're asking me to remember you. You should remember me. What does the verse say? So you can read it over there. The verse basically starts, Ami Zechorna, my people, my please remember me. Na, over here is please. It doesn't appear in the English translation. I just copied it quickly from Sefaria, whatever. Zechorna, please remember. You're asking me to remember. You should remember, please. What happened in the story, etc. You can read the verse itself, Bilam and Balak and so on. You should remember, says God, that I was so kind to you, that I did not listen to the curses of Bilam. I changed them to blessings and so on. So as you ask me to remember, I ask you, you should remember me. This is what the Zohar brings, connection between these two verses. Now, we have to understand, what are we asking God to remember us? What does that mean? Is it possible for him to forget something or not? So let's learn at least a little bit, very, very briefly, what does it mean to remember and what does it mean to forget? What's the spiritual source of remembering something? What does that mean, spiritually speaking? And what does that mean to forget, spiritually speaking? So over here, I was very, very brief, so I'm going to explain a little bit more without the text itself. I wrote internal and external. What does that mean? Each one of us has certain things, certain matters, subjects in life that we define those issues as the most important things in our lives. That's like an internal thing. That's what I would call in Hasidic teachings, is called internal things. Those things you don't forget. Those things you always remember because they are your life. Each person, of course, has different issues that considers the most important things in life and so on. Okay, so you have to ask yourself, what's the most important thing in your life? That's your thing. If we would apply this to God's service, of course, God is the most important thing in life, and we should always be conscious of him, and we should always think about him, and so on. Okay, that's basically the context. But the point is that certainly there are things that are the main things in our lives, and there are things that we just don't pay so much attention, and sometimes we forget. We just forget. Why? Again, because they are not the most important things in our lives. Therefore, that's a source of forgetfulness. So the truth is, God doesn't forget. There's no such a thing by him. He's infinite. The whole idea of remembering means infinite, living in infinity. What does that mean, living in infinity? Something is so present in your life that there's no moment, there's no situation in which you don't have this in mind, in which you don't have this, so to speak, present in your life. Like, you never forget you're yourself, right? You never think you're somebody else. Whatever, it's you. I mean, I'm myself. You can forget your wife's birthday, which I don't recommend. I passed through that already. I don't recommend that. But whatever, you could forget. It happens, whatever. But yourself? You're never going to forget yourself. Why? Because you feel yourself so much. I know it's a very simple thing that what I'm saying, but just try to put it into perspective over here and think how you, each one of us, thinks about God. Do you think about him just as you think about yourself? So again, from yourself, you never forget. But from God, we forget. So this thing that we're asking God to remember us is not because he forgets. Of course he doesn't forget. He's infinite. Again, he's constantly everywhere and he's everything and blah, blah, blah. Very nice. But we forget. And when we forget, he just mirrors us. He just says, hey, you forget about me, I forget about you. And this is what we just, I'm just going back a second, connecting from the Zohar. It's not that I'm making the connection. The Zohar makes the connection between these two things. God says to us, wait a second, you're asking me to remember? I always remember. I never forget. You forget. What that means is, wait a second, if you're not going to forget me, I'm not going to forget you, says God. Don't worry. I'm there. I'm there. So our petition that God should remember us automatically, so to speak, mirrors in the opposite way. God is telling us, you should remember me. Don't worry, I'll remember you, but you should remember me. Work on yourself to remember us. That's what it means, basically. Again, an internal thing, you yourself, the most important things in your life, you never forget. External things, things that are not so important in your life, you tend to forget. Okay, having said that, let's analyze a little bit deeper this verse that we brought at the beginning. Zechor Hashem mehayalanu. Remember, oh Lord God, whatever. What happened to us? The word meh, ma, means what in Hebrew? Ma ze is, what is this? That's what it means in plain translation of Hebrew. But let's go deeper a little bit. There's a level, spiritual level, called ma, what. That's what it's called, ma, what. Why? So our sages explain, this is based again in Hasidic teachings, I'm not going to quote all the ideas and all the sources and so on, but the point is that the word ma, when you add up the letters of Hebrew, each letter in Hebrew adds up to a word, to a number, I'm sorry, the letter mem is 40, and the letter hey is 5. So when you add the numbers that represents the letters of the word ma, mem, hey, comes up to 45. Now, Adam also comes up to 45. Adam means Aleph is 1, is the first letter. Dalet is mem. I'm sorry, Dalet is 4. So you have 1 plus 4. And mem means 40. It doesn't matter which type of mem, and this is not a class in Hebrew, forget it. The point is that ma and Adam means 45. What does that mean? There's a connection between these two letters, the two words, which represent that there's an essence that we have inside of us, each one of us, and it's the essence of being a human being. This is what we are. And we were created in the image of God as human beings. With all of that means, a soul, a connection to God, the power of free will, and okay, all the ideas that a regular common human being actually represents. Whether this person lives like a human being or an animal, that's a different issue. But the point is, you have inside of you the power of being and behaving and so on like a human being. And this is called, in Hasidic teachings, ma. Now, another point, very important point. This idea of ma, which connects us to our essence as a human being, is not just an addition of letters. Okay, 45, and no. There's another meaning. Again, what? What? A person asks what when recognizes that doesn't understand. I didn't get it. What? What did you say? I didn't get it. In order to ask what, you have to recognize that you didn't get it. You didn't understand. But if you are embarrassed, or if you think you understand, you're never going to ask what. So just the question, the idea of what, represents bitul, nullification. Again, a person recognizes, I did not understand, I'm going to raise my hand and I'm going to ask, what? What did you say? I didn't get it. That means you are bitul, you are nullified towards your teacher. This is just an example. Same thing happens in our relationship with God. We explain that Adam, we are human beings, and we explain that that's connected to Ma, that means a spiritual level within each one of us, that level connects us to God. Why? Because the essence of a human being is the power that we have to connect to Him. An animal, our sages bring the idea that an animal, take a dog, a cat, whatever, an animal is looking down all the time. We human beings can raise up our heads and look above. That means we can think about God, we can talk about Him, we can learn about Him, and so on. We can connect to Him, pray to Him, etc. Fulfill His commandments, all the things that a person can do. Besides, beyond the capacity of an animal. Between parentheses, I think it's proper to remember, according to Judaism, human beings are not better animals. We do share lots of things, very nice, but we're not better animals. That's not the point. We are human beings, a different type of creature. That's why we were created with a different set of words from God and so on. But we're not better animals. I know science takes the human being like an animal, a better one, okay? Suppose sometimes we behave better than animals, sometimes we don't. But suppose the science takes human beings like a better animal. We don't do that. It's a different, infinite type. The difference is infinite. I mean, a different type of creation, human being. Okay, so again, I'm just going to repeat this idea very quickly to get what I want to say, to go to my point. Again, we ask God, the Heard, Hashem, Ma. Remember, Me, Ma, whatever, it's the same. We ask God to remember Ma. What is this Ma? This Ma means a spiritual level that basically references the essence of a human being. Adam, this is what we are, because the word Ma and Adam are basically the same. They're related, not the same, but they're related. And this means our power, our capacity of connecting to God. In order for you to connect to God, you're going to have to surrender yourself to God. There's no other way of connection. Point. I know that this idea should require more development and more explanation and so on. But at least hear it and dwell on it. Like in your pillow, with your pillow, or whatever you want, with your tea or whatever you like. Think about it. You want to connect to God? You're going to have to surrender yourself. I'm not talking about surrendering your money. Give it to me. That's not what I'm saying. No. You're going to have to surrender yourself. The things that you think are correct, the things that you think God wants from you, the things that you, the ego, forget it. You're going to have to leave your ego behind if you want to connect to God. That's why all of these ideas are connected over here. We are created in the image of God. We have a soul. This soul is a piece of God, whatever that means. This is what Eov says. And interestingly, Eov was not a Jew. Some say, some authorities, some commentaries say that Eov was Moshe Rabbeinu. But most of commentaries said Eov was not a Jew. He was with Pharaoh, actually. And Bilaam giving the counsel to the Pharaoh to kill the Jews, whatever. It's a whole Midrashim and ideas from all ages. Whatever the case is, we do have a soul inside of us, Jews and non-Jews. We do have that. And this thing is called Adam. We are human beings. We have the soul of a human being. I'm not a dog, I'm not a cat, and so on. And this is connected to the word Ma. Ma means bitul, nullification. What? The idea of Ma is nullification. This is our connection to God. Very good. So if we go back just for a second, we didn't finish. We still have more deepness to go into. Just as we go back a little bit to the verse of Lamentations, remember, Lord, what do we ask God to remember? What? Wait a second. Again, I'm going back on purpose. Oops, the first one. In the simple meaning, remember what happened to us. What has befallen us? Jerusalem is destroyed, and the temple, and blah, blah, blah. Very nice. But wait a second. Let's take that from that context and talk about something completely different. Because after all, Jerusalem was destroyed 2,000 years ago by the Romans, almost 2,000 years ago, and so on. And we're still here. And we need something actual. I mean, from today, to work in our connection to God, in our improvement of ourselves, besides the story that happened almost 2,000 years ago about the destruction. We don't cry destruction. What do you, Well, it's stupid. Actually, there's a story, very interesting story by Miao, and I think it was Platon, that he asked him, that's what our sages bring. He asked him, Platon asked Irmiau, he saw Irmiau crying, the destruction of the temple. And he asked him, what are you crying for? First of all, a piece of wood and a piece of stone and not more than that. And secondly, that's it, it's the past. It's gone, no more. Why do you cry for the past? And Irmiau answered, I can't explain to you, you're not going to understand. This is what the Midrash brings. I can't explain for you. Forget it. You're never going to get it. And there are not so many commentators on this. What did Irmiau mean? Why can't you understand? And there's a very interesting book. Actually, this is what I was going to teach before. And I changed in the middle, whatever. Nesiva Shalom, he brings a very interesting idea that there are two types of crying. You could cry in two ways. The regular crying is, that's it. No more temple, no more bright stories, no more history, no more nothing, no more beauty, no more Yerushalayim, blah, blah, blah. So you're crying. This crying comes from a feeling of, that's it, no more. I'm done. I'm gone. This is what Plato understood. So if that's the way you're crying, what are you crying for? It's not going to come back. That's it. Story. History. I mean, gone. And Irmiau was not crying for that. Irmiau was crying because each tear that we actually shed, or we, whatever the name is, I don't know in English, each tear that we actually have, it's like a brick in the temple. It's like building again the temple, because it awakens in us the desire for actually having the temple, and it's like an engine urging us to move on and actually go build the temple. I mean, either with our hands or bring Mashiach, God is going to bring the temple. That's a different story. But the case is that Irmiau told Plato, you're not going to get it. Forget it. You're never going to get it. But having said all of that, let's go back. We are over here. So we do know that Ma now took a very different meaning. The meaning of the essence of a human being in his connection or her connection, whatever, to God. That's what Ma means. But it could happen that this connection, so to speak, is not so pure. It's not so good. It's not so holy. It could so happen. How can it happen? So our sages bring a very interesting different verse from a different part of the Torah. No connection to it. This verse appears at the end of Parshat Vayera, where the Torah is actually talking about the birth of Rivka. Rivka would be the wife of Yitzchak. And the Torah is telling us all the family of Rivka. Bethuel, who is his grandfather, and then Lavan, his brother, and all kinds of people. Nahor, his uncle, all kinds of people over there. I don't remember right now if Nahor was his grandfather, not the uncle, grandfather, whatever. Rivka and her family. And within all the family appear some concubines of Nahor, if I'm not wrong. And the Torah says, Ufilakshoy, the concubine of Nahor, Ushma, she was called Reuma. A person, and she gave birth to other people. A person might ask, what do I care? The name of a woman that lived with some guy 5,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, what teaching does it have? Our sages take in Hasidus. This is pure Hasidic thought. Our sages take this name Reuma and they make it into two words. Over here you have Reuma. Reu and Ma. Reu means see, look, look around. You're actually telling people, Reu, Reu, look, like Reuven, look my son. Ma, what does Ma means? Oh, Ma, what? Wait a second. So this woman is teaching us a very strong lesson. It could come a situation in which a person says, Re'u, to the other fellows, whatever, look how good I am. I'm proud of myself. I learned Torah. I'm a whatever. I do this and I do that. God should be thankful that I'm in his world. This is what represents Reu Ma. Look at myself. look at me. Ma, again, connection, God and godly soul and my connection to him, etc., etc., that usually means nullification to God. Re'uma, look how nullified I am to God. Look at me. The Zohar brings, interestingly, that this has two ways of getting it, of understanding it. The Zohar talks about Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, he wrote the Zohar. He was a very, very important, he was a very important figure in Judaism, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Ben Yochai. He brings over there in the Zohar that there's a phrase that Rabbi Shimon used to say, you want to see the face of God? Look at me. This is what Rabbi Shimon used to say. You want to see God? Here it is. Look at me. I'm the image of God. The person might ask, hey, wait a second, who do you think you are? This sounds like pride and so on. But in the level of Rabbi Shimon, that was true. I don't know what the face of Rabbi Shimon looked like, but that he was an image of God. He really represented God over here, whatever that means. And then he used to say, Anasi manam be'almam, just like a sign of God, I represent God, whatever. He used to have these kinds of weird phrases. But that was true. Who can actually raise their hand and say, you want to see God? He's bald. He doesn't have hair. He has like has glasses like me. I don't think anybody can say such a thing. But it was true by him. So again, we learned that Ma, before going into the Baal Shem Tov, we learned that Ma means our essence as human beings in connection to God, our giving ourselves to God, our nullification to God. But it could happen in a not holy and lofty way that a person uses this ma, this what that he has inside, to tell other people, look, to be prideful, pride of yourself in a very bad way. And that's the source of all kinds of evils a person can actually have and do. The fact that a person considers himself, herself, etc., in a very lofty level, and ma and my what is so high, everybody should look at me, everybody should learn from me, everybody should do the same things that I do, and so on. This is the source of the worst evils that a person can ever do. Now, having this in mind, let's go to the Baal Shem Tov. The verse said, remember Hashem, what? Okay, we're going back. Zechor Hashem Ma, remember God, our what? Our essence as human beings. But this could have two expressions. And there are two situations, different situations, in which the Baal Shem Tov taught this teaching to two kinds of people, completely different, meaning two completely different ideas. But the same verse. The Baal Shem Tov said, Zechor Hashem Me Hayalanu. God, please remember our ma. We know it's talking about the essence of a person, so on, and so on. The first situation in which the Baal Shem Tov actually taught this teaching was talking to great sages of Torah. They used to know so much and they used to learn so much. In order to understand a little bit the context, in the times of the Baal Shem Tov, when he actually got revealed as a teacher and so on, the Jewish people were divided basically into two parts. The elite, the great sages and so on, that had no connection to the simple people. Forget it. Simple people are worthless. That's how they lived and they felt. So when the Baal Shem Tov was talking to these great sages that completely disregarded the simple people, he told them this teaching. Zechor Hashem Me Hayalanu. God has to remember, so to speak, that we, even though sometimes don't behave properly, that means, even we're talking about great sages that kept all the mitzvahs and all the things, they did everything right, but they disregarded the simple people, they disregarded other fellow Jews like nothing. You forgot and you lost your ma. You forgot and you lost the reason why you exist, your humanity. How can you disregard a different human being just because it's different from you? Just because it doesn't know all the Talmud and all the Kabbalah, whatever, like you. Mm-mm. Something is wrong over here. So we're asking Hashem, we're asking God to let these people remember and relive their ma, their what? Their feeling of, after all, we're all the same. After all, what defines me? Whatever I learned, how many books did I read and I remember? Nah, that's not what defines me. Defines me, my connection to God. And in that particular point in a human being, it could happen, this is what the Baal Shem Tov taught, it could happen that a very simple person has a deeper connection to God than a very learned person. Because a learned person puts words into it, puts knowledge into it, and has different ways of looking at things and so on. So you're not really connecting to the essence of God. You're connecting to the way you understand God. But a simple person that has no knowledge at all doesn't put, quote unquote, images and forms and ideas into God. It's just God. That's it. Whatever that means. So it connects to the real essence of God. So when the Baal Shem Tov taught this teaching to the very learned and great sages and so on, this teaching represents a request to God. God, let these people remember they have a ma. Let's go back a second to the first. Again, remember, O Lord, instead of saying what happened to us, me hayalanu, what we had. Hayalanu is we had this. And therefore, we had this connection to God, this essence of a human being and so on. And therefore, habito res chaposenu, please behold God and see our disgrace. We lost it at some point in life. For some reason, we forgot it. So we're asking God to remember that we actually have that. And please, let us feel it again. Let us understand it again and live by it again. That's teaching number one of the Baal Shem Tov. But it happened that the same teaching the Baal Shem Tov spoke and told very simple people. The opposite of what we just learned. So how can you take this new explanation of the verse in Eicha, in Lamentations, and so on, and teach it to simple people? It's really the other way around. Again, ma, as we learned before, means nullification, giving yourself, sacrifice, and so on. So in this new context, when talking to simple people, we're asking God, Zechor Hashem mehayalanu, God, remember our sacrifice for you. We nullified ourselves. We gave ourselves completely to you. So please remember that. Why are we in exile? Why don't you reveal yourself? Why is there no temple? Why is there no whatever, everything that we should have, Mashiach and so on? Why is there nothing of that? Please, God, remember our sacrifice. So see, let's go back a second, how this same word, ma, can mean almost two opposite things. On one hand, it means complete giving yourself to God. And we all have the same thing inside. We are human beings. Adam, ma, 45, whatever. So God, please let us live by that again. And stop doing these differences like this is high and this is low. This knows that this guy loans a lot. This guy doesn't know. This guy doesn't know anything, and so on. And the second teaching means, God, we gave ourselves to you completely. So please remember that. Please remember that. So this is basically the same that I just explained. Talking to lofty people, we're asking God to see our disgrace. Look how the Baal Shem Tov looks at it. Hey, your behavior is a disgrace. That you're considering the simple people like very lowly and worthless. It's a disgrace. So we're asking God to let us really reach our deep self, our deep essence, and stop our disgraceful behavior. Help us. And when talking to, so that's talking to the people. Remember your ma. You should remember that your essence is a connection to God, not how much you learned. And talking to the simple people, the request is a request to God. Zechor Hashem, you should remember God, not the people. You should remember God. our sacrifice, our giving ourselves, and so on. So we do see, We do see, let's go back to the beginning. Okay. We do see from the same verse how you could take a very simple translation, like the one over here. We're asking God to remember what happened to us and see our disgrace because of the destruction and Tisha B'Av and the ninth of Av and so on. And that's why we fast and we're sorry and sorrow and blah, blah, blah. Or you can take one word, ma, and even though it's, of course, taken out of context because it's not the simple meaning, but you can explain this word as our connection to God, what defines us as human beings, and depending of the person, what the message is. If the person is a person that has so much pride that thinks he can actually, he's the owner of the whole world and so on, so you tell this person, the Choyr, you should remember that God gave you this ma, but not to be on top of anybody else, rather to help other peoples, other people reach a higher level of service to God and so on. And if you're talking to very simple people, you're talking to God. Zohar Hashem, God, you should remember that we actually gave ourselves for you and this is our essence, and therefore you should see our disgrace and help us and so on. So I just want to add one more thing that I think it's important to keep in mind. When our sages, over here it's easier to see, when our sages in the Hasidic thought, in the Hasidic discourses that talk about this, explain all of this, they talk about basically two things. First thing is what I just mentioned over here, pride, reuma, that everything looks, everything look at my ma, my being as a human being, as a rabbi, I know so much and I learned so much and everybody look at me. Okay, that's pride, that's wrong. It's the source of all the wrong things and so on. That's one way, a person, one path, so to speak, of personal growth that a person has to actually grow on this. Leave your pride a little bit and remember that in front of God, we're all the same and basically insignificant. Okay, that's one idea. Then something that I didn't have time to actually put in the presentation. So I'm saying this and I have nothing written on this. So I'm just saying it outside the presentation. And the idea is like this. There's something we have that is beyond the capacity of the animals. I explained before that human beings are not better animals. Animals are animals and we are human beings. No connection. We do have certain components of animals, but we're not better animals. We're something else. What's the difference between us and animals? So one of the differences that is brought down in Judaism in general, in philosophy, in Jewish philosophy, is that we can actually think and talk. Animals also think, but their thought is not as developed, so to speak, as ours. And our thought and words can actually influence our feelings. And that's basically something that the animals don't have. Animals feel, a dog feels love for their owners and so on, very nice. But it's a feeling of instinct. It's not a feeling developed out of intellect. And it's not a feeling that they can actually understand the opposite. They can't. A human being, one of the great lofty things that a human being can do is, I can hold in one way, but I can understand a different way, completely opposite way than what I hold. And I don't get nervous. I understand it. And I can live by that. And I can even act like that. Even if it's the opposite of what I would do in a natural way. Animals only work in a natural world, so to speak. They act like they act because that's natural to them. A dog can even die of hunger or whatever if the owner is not present or is not going to give them something or whatever. Stories are basically famous, so to speak, of dogs that run after their owners when they take them in the ambulance and so on. Okay, but that's instinctive. That's their nature. Human beings can work on the opposite of nature. So one of the things that is brought down in these teachings of Ma and Zechor Ma and so on is that we have to work on our emotions. We have to work on the way we talk, we speak, we have to work on the way we feel, and we have to actually select which feelings are good and which feelings are not good. What am I saying? Every single human being has a capacity of love, loving things. Any single human being has a capacity of rejecting, fearing, in a good sense, fearing things. But the question is, what is our love and what is our fear geared towards? Like, what do you love and what do you fear or reject? Love is a feeling of getting closer to things, and fear is a feeling of rejecting things. You could love and fear God. That means wanting to get close to Him and wanting to get far from anything that affects your connection to Him. Or, sorry, you could love the physical world, material world, whatever, food and alcohol and et cetera, the physical world, or fear not having money and not having benefits in the physical world and so on, and act on that. You go and live your life with that love and that fear, love for money and fear of losing your money and so on. So one of the ideas, again, that we actually connect to this Zohar Hashem Ayalano, and the connection is not really important right now, how it works and so on, but the point is that one of the things is that we ask God to help us to see and give us strength to be able to work on ourselves, and specifically speaking, working in our emotions, in which things we actually do and invest our love, our capacity of love, our capacity of fear, and so on. So, just as a summary of what we learned again a simple translation of this verse from Irmiyahu, from Lamentations. I mean, he was the author of Lamentations, and meaning something much deep that should talk to any kind of person, whether you're a big sage or whether you're a very simple person. In any situation you find yourself, you always have to ask yourself, where is my ma? Where is my what? What is my essence as a human being in my connection to God?